Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast. I'm Evan Schwartzschrauber, your host. On today's show, Netflix hypocrisy. On Thursday, the Wall Street Journal broke a story where Netflix has for the past 5 years been throttling the traffic of AT&T and Verizon customers, but not Sprint and T-Mobile. Now, Netflix was one of the biggest proponents of strict net neutrality regulation, which the FCC adopted in June of 2015. And when the FCC reclassified broadband providers like your mobile phone provider and also your wireline broadband provider like Comcast as telecommunications common carriers, they imposed some strict regulations on them, including a regulation that broadband providers could not throttle traffic. So while it would be not okay for a company like AT&T to just say, hey, we're going to slow down Netflix traffic just because, apparently Netflix thinks it should be held to a different standard. And while the company says that it was doing this to help consumers guard against going above your data cap, in theory, very reasonable. Most Americans have a set amount of data they can use, especially on Verizon and AT&T plans. You know, it's nice that Netflix was helping you avoid overage charges, but the problem is Netflix didn't tell anyone about it. So there's a real transparency problem here, and transparency is another facet of net neutrality. So joining me to discuss this is, are you a Netflix subscriber, Baron?
I am going to be when the new House of Cards season comes back out, but I don't watch enough video to continue to subscribe to it.
You know there is a new season of House of Cards that just came out like a couple weeks ago.
Yes, but yes. I know the whole thing comes out at once, but I'm catching up right now on Enterprise. And when I finish with that on Amazon, I will then switch back and watch Netflix.
All right, you really need to get with the program. But Baron, so why is this such a problem? Is this hypocrisy? Is this illegal? Set the stage for us.
So first, it's not a net neutrality violation. I just want to be very clear about that. And I mean that both in the sense that there was an original concept of net neutrality that was all about what broadband providers can do. And as you said, it requires transparency. Prohibits throttling, prohibits discrimination. And then the FCC enacted its own rules in 2010 and then again in 2015. And Netflix does not violate either one of those because Netflix is not a broadband provider. So that part of this is very simple. However, it is highly hypocritical that Netflix has been screaming about how net neutrality needs to be expanded in its scope. And expanded in order to cover interconnection, a thing that was never part of net neutrality.
And just to explain briefly interconnection, I mean, listeners, there's a reason why a website like Google or Facebook that has billions of users loads properly, and they use things like content delivery networks, or they interconnect with ISPs to handle a lot of traffic. That type of thing is not necessary for your cousin's food blog, for example.
And this is really pretty simple at the end of the day. Okay, so those systems like YouTube, for example, I mean, the reason that your cousin, if he starts a video food blog, would use YouTube instead of trying to build his own video content delivery network is that it's really, really expensive to build that infrastructure. And those, that has nothing to do with net neutrality. That's just, it takes a lot of hardware to carry that traffic to make sure that it gets to broadband companies. In other words, those are costs that every video distributor has always had to bear, that Netflix always had to pay, and that Netflix has simply been trying to get out of completely. Netflix has succeeded to some degree in persuading people to think that if they don't get that stuff for free, that itself is a net neutrality problem. And so here's the hypocrisy. In order to do that, this is back, let's rewind, back at the beginning of 2014 and the very end of 2013, Netflix was involved in a dispute about peering with Comcast. And at the time, it seemed that Comcast was finding a sort of an alternative way to screw with Netflix. And Netflix made it sound like that was a net neutrality violation. It turned out that, in fact, Netflix was essentially slowing its own service in order to make Comcast look bad. And then because Netflix is so popular, and you rightly teased me at the very outset here for not being a current Netflix subscriber, I mean, everybody is, right? Netflix is the largest video distribution platform in America, unless you count YouTube, and that's not a subscription service.
It accounts for 1/3 of all peak internet traffic. I mean, just think about that. 1/3 of the internet essentially is people streaming Netflix.
And basically, Netflix has enough leverage that they calculated that if they ginned up a public controversy about this, that they could bring a giant like Comcast to its knees, which is what happened.
Yeah,
Comcast,
John, go ahead.
Comcast cut a deal giving Netflix cheaper interconnection than they ever had gotten. And then Netflix turned around and said that Comcast, after they'd given that deal, was raping them. And that, in turn, led in part to John Oliver's famous comedy sketch that launched millions of FCC comments, resting on nothing other than the pure, unadulterated, grade A Kentucky bullshit that was spewed by Netflix, who just lied their way through that entire proceeding. So the point is, to connect these two things, Netflix has had a history here of cynically manipulating the concept of net neutrality and convincing people that net neutrality means essentially whatever is good for Netflix.
Right. And just to illustrate the danger of mission creep with net neutrality, FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler himself, before adopting strict Title II regulation of the internet, said interconnection is a separate issue. We'll deal with that separately. So at that point, the definition of net neutrality was no blocking. You know, a company like Comcast shouldn't block ABC because NBC is a competitor to ABC, right? We could all get behind that. No throttling of unreasonable throttling, just slowing down some services to favor your friends and speeding up other services. Fine. And no unreasonable discrimination. But that's the core of net neutrality that even Republicans in Congress would be happy to codify into law.
And that broadband providers themselves actually accepted and really helped to draft in the 2010 rules.
Right. There's a reason that the Verizon, AT&T, all these official company blogs will say we are supporters of net neutrality. The problem is when it becomes a way of Netflix trying to gain the upper hand in a negotiation. So Netflix is a big strain on a network, and they have to negotiate with companies like Comcast. Like you said, they struck a deal, and then Netflix turned around and said, the fact that we had to pay this money is somehow a net neutrality violation.
Well, actually, what they said, this is really important, what they said is it's a violation of, quote, strong net neutrality.
Ah, and that's what we ended up with.
They played this, that's exactly right. They played this very clever political game where they rebranded net neutrality in this very expansive sense. And this is really important, and this is why it's so hypocritical of them to have been blocking or throttling, rather, AT&T and Verizon traffic. Strong net neutrality is different from the original net neutrality, not just in the sense that it covers other things and things that happen outside the broadband provider's network. It's different in the sense that Netflix said again and again, look, it doesn't matter where it happens or how it happens. It's just about consumer expectations. And if consumers think that there's a problem and they don't really understand why and something's happening that's kind of nefarious, well, that's a problem, right? So that was Netflix's framing. And if that's the way that you understand, quote, strong net neutrality, what Netflix is doing here, even though Netflix is not itself an ISP and therefore not subject to the actual non-strong net neutrality rules or whatever you want to call them, it's still the case that Netflix is violating the basic premise of their version of strong net neutrality, which just, by the way, is the rhetoric that the president used even in his big statement asking for the FCC to issue the strongest possible rules, even though at the end, again, the rules themselves don't actually cover a company like Netflix.
Right. The regulations focused on what an ISP, a broadband provider, can do. But if you are someone who believes in strong net neutrality and you believe in that principle and you think that all internet traffic on the internet should be treated equally and fairly, then does it matter whether it's the broadband provider who's slowing down your video or whether it's Netflix? Either way, like you said, it's about consumer expectations, and all the big frenzy over net neutrality was always about protecting consumers. And if I'm a consumer for the past 5 years and I subscribe to AT&T or Verizon, and I expect that AT&T or Verizon is going to grab the best quality video it can and stream Netflix to me in high definition or whatever, and it turns out that no, Netflix was secretly slowing it down, then really, how is that any different than an ISP doing it? It's a violation of the spirit of the principle.
And importantly, they were slowing it down selectively. They weren't doing it on T-Mobile and Sprint's networks. They were just doing it on Verizon and AT&T. Now, I want to make clear, I do not have any problem with what they were doing. My only complaint here, even the fact that it was selective, my only complaint is that they did not disclose it. And they didn't disclose it publicly and say anything specific about it. They didn't even bury it in their terms of service. Their terms of service talk about how your mileage might vary from device to device, but there's nothing in there that would lead any reasonable person to imagine that if their service was different, if my service was different from yours because you have a different carrier, that it was because Netflix was actively throttling the speed that I got and not the speed that you got.
And the reaction to this story has really been fascinating because you have net neutrality hardliners who truly believe in the principle no matter what, no matter it's an ISP or an edge provider like at Netflix, and they say this is bad. And then there are people who say the only thing that's wrong with it is that they didn't disclose it, like you, because throttling can be good for consumers. Netflix's argument was that you've got a data cap, and if I give you Netflix at the highest speed possible, you're just going to eat through that like crazy. It's going to be gone in a day or whatever. So they were trying to help you avoid that. It's not always bad to throttle.
And there's another important irony here that has not gotten very much attention. The reason that Netflix did not throttle on Sprint and T-Mobile's networks is that those companies essentially throttled for Netflix. In other words, if you were approaching your data cap on those companies, let's say it's the beginning of the month, you would get full quality video. But towards maybe halfway through the month, whenever you're approaching your data cap, could be much faster, then those companies would start throttling. And they did that for a very good reason, once again, because you just, the physics of these wireless networks are such that you just cannot cost effectively stream several gigabytes of video to watch a movie day in and day out. Now you might ask, well, why did Verizon and AT&T handle that problem differently? It's essentially a billing problem. How do you make sure that consumers don't get pissed off about getting huge overage charges on their bills? We can all think back to the old days when you talk too much on the phone and you got that surcharge. Well, AT&T and Verizon, being the market leaders, are not beloved by the FCC. I was looking for an antonym there. Whatever that word is.
That is the understatement of the century.
Which is to say that this FCC has gone out of its way again and again and again to find ways to screw those two companies and to help T-Mobile and Sprint as the third and fourth largest carriers.
And one of the points I wanted to make is that a lot of the public, quote-unquote public interest groups that pushed for strong net neutrality, you would think that they would be upset by this. But in the spirit of picking winners and losers, a lot of these groups were so quick to defend Netflix on the grounds that it's not a violation of the law, that they're a content provider, they're not bound by this, net neutrality has nothing to do with what content providers do. It's amazing to see these proponents of strict regulation twisting themselves into pretzels in order to avoid criticizing a company that did something that they should think is wrong. Like, we might be cool with the throttling because it helps consumers, and our one complaint is that it wasn't disclosed, but these companies should, in theory, not be okay with throttling, right? Whether it's the company that gives you the video or the company that gives you the network.
So 2 points here. One, throttling is going to happen. In the context of wireless, it's inevitable. What's important is that it be transparent and that users have tools to choose. And when Netflix announced this last week, they framed their announcement because apparently they knew the Wall Street Journal story was breaking. They, with yet again that signature bullshit that Netflix is so good at, they tried to frame this as, oh, you know, not hey, we've been secretly lying to you for 5 years and discriminating and blocking some users, but throttling some users traffic, but not others. Instead, they came out and said, oh, we're launching this new tool soon, not yet, but soon, that will allow users to choose for themselves. Right? That's great. That's what we need. That's what everybody should have. The problem is that that in fact, the FCC's rules, if you read them carefully, paragraph 122, would bar carriers from doing that. So in other words, the thing that is the obvious user-friendly solution here of give users a tool that allows them to turn down speed levels across the board is something that the FCC probably bans. T-Mobile has offered such a tool. That's essentially what BingeOn does. It doesn't allow you to do, it's not like a throttle switch, it's sort of on and off. But you can opt out, that's really important. But under the version of the order that explains this in paragraph 122, it says very explicitly that user choice is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. If the carrier is throttling, it is a per se violation, period. No ifs, ands, or buts, even though the first two sentences of that paragraph talk about the importance of user choice. So the point here is that people are losing sight of what's really important. What's really important is not the abstraction of net neutrality. It's, are users in control? Can they make choices? And are the practices here actually good ones for consumers? If it helps you avoid a huge overage charge on your bill and you know about it and you get to watch more video, like we've talked about this in the past, that people actually watch a lot more video on binge on because it avoids their having to go over their data caps, that's good for consumers. So again, we should be focused here on other legal remedies, and I would just emphasize that the groups that are defending Netflix and saying quite rightly that this is not, strictly speaking, a net neutrality violation should be joining us, because we're going to actually file a complaint about this with the Federal Trade Commission. I think this is not a net neutrality violation per the FCC's rules, but it's very clearly a deceptive practice.
Because it wasn't in the terms of service, as you mentioned. And there's another key point that needs to be made. You are potentially robbing consumers of an entire category of innovation, I should say, by only allowing a company like Netflix to experiment with throttling regimes that might help consumers, but not allowing the carriers. Because if it's all about consumer choice, and I'm a consumer, and AT&T wants to offer me an option where I can say, let me turn up HBO, but turn down Netflix, and I'll turn up Pandora, but nah, I don't like Spotify as much, I'll turn that down. That's great. That's allowing you to ration your data the way that you see fit. But for the FCC to just say it's totally fine for companies in this category to do it, but not companies in this category to do it, one, that puts the carriers at a competitive disadvantage, but it's also just picking winners and losers.
It's worse than that. So think about it this way. So suppose you start going down this road where Netflix builds this tool, Hulu builds this tool, and all the video platforms have some version of this tool. It's very easy to imagine this becoming the modern equivalent of the too many remotes problem. In other words, you've got to configure every single one of those. I got to do it for my mother. You know, it's not an easy thing to do to make that user-friendly.
Now, right.
So what's the alternative? So you could imagine that the operating system, you know, Apple and Google might try to build in that kind of control. And it might work. And it might be that they can build an interface that would work with all those other platforms. Probably take some time. It's not going to happen quickly. But even then, you're only going to have that control work over whoever plays ball with that standard, right? The advantage that the carriers have is that they have the data coming over their network. They can build this tool today. Netflix is throttled by Binge On's program the same way any other video service is. And if you don't like it, you can turn off Binge On.
And just to be clear, one of the reasons why, at least to date, that T-Mobile has gotten away with Binge On, and it's depressing that you even have to say getting away with when you're talking about innovation, but the reason that's theoretically okay is because they're not just doing it for Netflix. They're doing it for any video provider that meets the specs and wants to participate in the program. But maybe Binge On would be even better and more consumer friendly if you could turn on some switches for some providers and turn off switches for others. But unfortunately, under the FCC's rules, that type of thing won't come to pass. And then the fact that the carriers are regulated so heavily might really just stifle innovation in user-directed prioritization and all these areas where consumers could be really in the driver's seat of the way that their internet traffic is delivered to them.
I just want to be clear about this, because when people like us say things like that, I realize that it sounds like bullshit to most people, but it's really quite true. I mean, if like I just walked through this example, the carriers are the ones who can actually deploy this service today, and they can't do it, or they're being very careful about how they do it, as in the case of T-Mobile, because of the FCC's rules and the way they're written. So, look, the point is, you could be all in favor of net neutrality in the sense that the FCC actually adopted it, and still understand that what Netflix is doing is a problem that probably ought to be dealt with, if not by the FCC, then by the Federal Trade Commission, and that the underlying solution to this problem is giving users tools so they can choose for themselves, and making sure that actually happens practically means letting the carriers be involved. If the carriers do it and users have control over it, it shouldn't be a problem. But in order to fix that, we would really have to go back and rewrite the 2015 order, which might happen because of the litigation. The FCC could lose, the whole thing could be thrown out. I do want to say one more thing here. It is also possible that what Netflix has been doing is fundamentally anti-competitive. I mean, they were essentially convincing their users that AT&T and Verizon's networks just weren't very good. At the same time that T-Mobile was going around saying, hey, Netflix worked great on our network, why don't you switch to us? There might be an antitrust violation in there, even for someone who is as skeptical about the antitrust laws as I am.
Yeah, that's clearly pretty shady when you've got your four major nationwide carriers. Netflix is, as we say, so popular that it can really affect your decision on what network you're going to use. And in, maybe it's tough to switch your wireline broadband carrier because of where you live, but it's certainly not hard to switch wireless carriers these days. They are happy to bribe you with switching fees. And if you are being misled to think that the Verizon or AT&T network is bad because of the way Netflix operates, sure, that could be anti-competitive.
And indeed, it's worth noting here that it's a hell of a lot easier to switch between wireless carriers than it is to switch between video platforms. I mean, I canceled my Netflix subscription because I just don't watch that much online video, and I've been on this Star Trek binge for a while, like a few years. But the reality is that when I switch to Amazon Video, I can get certain things like, you know, Enterprise. That's not exactly very hip. There are a lot of things that I simply cannot get except on Netflix.
Specifically, words, Netflix original programming, well, like House
not,
of Cards.
And it's not just the original programming. There's a lot of other content to which they still have exclusive rights. And
right.
the point is that if there is market power here, which is in theory what government regulation is supposed to be about, it's probably Netflix that has it, not the carriers.
So looking ahead, as we mentioned, there will be an FTC complaint against Netflix, not because of net neutrality, but because they failed to disclose this practice to consumers, and that's a transparency problem. And it'll be certainly interesting to see how people continue to react to this, especially those who pushed for such strong regulation and those who are defending companies like Netflix. And check out Barron's two posts on Medium that go into this very interesting story in a little bit more detail, and we'll link to those in the show notes of this episode. But that's it for today's show. My guest has been a no longer Netflix subscriber, Barron Soka. Barron.
Soon to be again, despite their hypocrisy, because I'm just holding out hope that the new season of House of Cards doesn't suck like the last one and returns to the glory days of the first season and maybe even the original series.
Well, as a Netflix subscriber myself, I can tell you it is better than season three. I'm not sure it's as good as season one, but it's always hard to relive the magic of season one.
Season three sets a pretty low bar.
Well, that's it for today's show. Follow us on Twitter at TechFreedom or on Facebook.com/TechFreedom. Find this podcast in the iTunes store or on your favorite podcast app. If you like what you hear or if you don't, please leave us a review. It will help us and will help others find the show. Thank you for listening.
The Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, make a tax-deductible donation, or find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.